Hello, this is Dean Gocher. Back in 1996, I started an institute called the Institute of Social, excuse me, I was responding to the Institute of Social Research. I entitled it Institution for Authority Research to counter. That was the Frankfurt School, a bunch of Marxists who came here in the 30s, fleeing fascist Germany, entered the universities, and we are now living their agenda. Kurt Lewin, who wasn't a member, but edited the papers, was key to breaking this process down, called the dialectic process, so that we now have a complete culture that has embraced this way of thinking. Grassroots all the way to the highest offices in the land. So I've been trying to explain, after reading 600 social psychology books, teaching in a university, 5,000 meetings, explain this process. And people keep saying, make it simple. Well, it is simple. And yet it's complex. Because it's such a big part of our life. It's hard to see back past it. The Bible says, and it has to deal with our heart, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The reason I start every presentation, every article with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is because it explains the process. It's right there in front of you, but you can't see it. It's a lot of, like a lot of things. You don't see them until somebody tells you. And then once they explain it to you, then you see it everywhere. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The issue we're talking about is you either do what the Father says, or you don't do what the Father says, and you have a guilty conscience, or you don't do what the Father says, and you don't have a guilty conscience. So really you only have one option. And that is to do what the Father says. Because if you don't do what the Father says, and you still honor the Father, you have a guilty conscience. And if you don't honor the Father's authority, that's the Antichrist. See, there is no recognition of the Father. He who denies the Father and the Son is the Antichrist. And so he doesn't have a guilty conscience. He can do things without it bothering him. And this is what conservatives didn't understand, was when people get into this third level, because the first is do what dad says. The second is you do what you want to do, but you still honor the Father and his authority. And so now you have a guilty conscience. And everybody comes from that way of thinking. So you think, well, I'll go talk to that minister who's called himself a facilitator of change, and I'll share some scriptures with him, and it'll bother him overnight, and the next day he'll call you and say, you know what, you're absolutely right. I'm wrong. It doesn't happen. Because when you go to the dialectic process, and I'll explain the difference between discussion and dialogue, when you go to the dialectic process and you embrace it as your way of thinking, which directly affects your action, you have no guilty conscience. And so you don't understand, you can go to these people that have embraced this ideology, this way of thinking, this paradigm, and bring in boxes of facts and truth and scripture. And they'll sleep peaceful at night because they don't have a guilty conscience. The only way you can have a guilty conscience is you still honor the Father's authority. Even if you disobey, you still honor the Father's authority. Therein lies the trickery, the subtlety of the process. And it ties to language, how we communicate with one another. And there's two basic forms or structures or paradigms that are involved in communication. And I oftentimes I quote Bohm and Pete in their book Science, Order, and Creativity, because they give us a definition of the two different ways of communicating. The first one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now that's a discussion. And so they say, in an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions. And of course, this is now a liberal speaking. And so he's going to use words that you might not use, I might not use, but he is explaining it. So in an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. In a discussion, the Father has the final say. So this is why when your dad told you you couldn't do something, or told you to do something you didn't want to do, you would go, why? Now, the why was to get not into a discussion, because you knew if you got in discussion, dad's going to eventually say, and by the way, if he doesn't go into dialogue with you, he will say this. He'll hold discussion. He'll say, because I said so. Now, you don't want to hear that all the time. Actually, dad does, and you do need to have a discussion. And that really comes from discipline. That comes from humbling, denying, dying to yourself, and listening. You have to listen. The Bible says there come a time when people cannot endure sound doctrine. They cannot listen. They cannot sit still to hear the truth because they're chasing pleasure. The heart is deceitful because it thinks pleasure is the standard of life. And so your heart, your carnal heart, is always going to approach pleasure and avoid pain. And in that pain can also include the missing out on pleasure. You know, if somebody's going to take the child's toy away, all of a sudden you see what? Desperately wicked. Not just wicked. He's desperate. There is a fear in his life that I'm going to die. He's taken my life away. That toy is my life. That iPhone is my life. And the child will do unconscionable things to get that toy or that iPhone back. And I've talked about dopamine because it's all based upon the chemicals our body naturally produces that are there for a moment and then they're gone. And you're trying to fill that void with that chemical again. Always filling the chemical. And so if you don't learn to detox yourself, humble yourself, get off the drug. No longer having to have gimme, 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 but being able to sit still. This is why you train up a child. You literally train them up. You teach them where they can sit still and think. And so there will come a time when they cannot endure sound doctrine. They cannot have a discussion with you. Because according to their lust, they heap into themselves, pile as much everywhere they turn. Everywhere you turn, you hear facilitators of change. Those are drug pushers. They're going to keep you on the drug of dopamine, of pleasure. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked because it thinks pleasure is the standard for life. Now, if pleasure is the standard for life, anybody who gets in the way of your pleasure is your enemy. And if you see them coming in, and to you, they're going to take it away forever. You get desperately wicked. And the end of the verse is, who can know it? You can't see it. You can't see your heart. It's impossible for you on your own to see your heart as wicked because pleasure is standing in the way. You cannot see the wickedness of your heart as long as pleasure is in your way. That's why chastening produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. It removes the pleasure so you can see again. You can see your wicked heart. And then you have contrition and repentance. But the discussion is the key here. Because in a traditional culture, you can have a discussion. Because that's the Father's authority. Now, the child, and we all have a child, even adults have a child nature within us. That's of the flesh. And Boehm and Pete give us a definition of dialogue. A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. Now, a discussion is dad. Now, if I have a class of 20 students, I have students from 20 different homes with 20 different dads with 20 different positions. And if there is enough difference in those positions, I will have disharmony in that room. When we go to position, we're going to have conflict. Now, in traditional culture, we resolved that with majority vote. We didn't touch on it. That was called freedom of the conscience. But when you go to dialogue, your freedom from the conscience, you see, if you disobey dad, but you still honor his office, you still honor discussion, and your conscience is tied to the discussion, not your dialogue. The dialogue is, I want, I feel, I think. In dialogue, you're God. Literally. You are aware of yourself. There's billions of people on the face of the earth, but you are aware of yourself. You talk to yourself, and that's dialogue. Discussion is dad talking to you. It's God talking to you. And he has the final say. Now, if you accept that, and then you go do what you want to do, which is dialogue. See, all that's of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. When God formed man from the dust of the ground, first thing he did, he formed him from the dust of the ground. That's your dialogue. That's the dopamine. That's the approach pleasure and avoid pain. They're all connected. And then he did something with man he didn't do with anything else in the creation. He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Because, and then he did something totally different. He didn't do anything else. Everything in the creation, including your flesh, is stimulus response. You test something pleasurable, the nerves, release dopamine, synaptic gap, and gets in your brain. You have dendrites, and then they will stimulate or, liberate, they call it liberate or emancipate dopamine into the synaptic gaps in these little areas between the nerves. And when it's in the brain, you become aware of something in the environment's pleasurable. And your body's and your mind's natural reaction is, I like that. You like pleasure. It's natural. And so you look into the environment to find out what it was. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's natural. God created us just like the animals. That's the flesh part of us, to approach pleasure and avoid pain. You notice that's true for animals as well? And so that flesh part of us is basically a animal structure. Approach pleasure, avoid pain. And so you look for whatever is pleasurable, and then your agenda is to get a hold of it. Because if you can control it, you can have more dopamine later, more pleasure later. Now, when dad says you can't do something, there's that dopamine object over there, and God says you can't do it, or the parent says you can't do it, and you do it, that's lust. Now, that is where you are, and this is where the dialogue comes in, because the dialogue, we're all equal. We're all born into this world in sin. Because it's our nature to approach pleasure and avoid pain, and dad comes in and says, do this, and there's no pleasure in it, and it may be painful. Get your chores done. Oh dear. Do your homework. Take the garbage out. Finish plowing the field. But dad, it's hot out there. Finish plowing the field. Within reason. It's 118. No. But if it's 100, I've been out in the field 115 as a kid on a tractor. That's hot. Heat coming off the motor. Got a hood over me, but it was a hot day. And so you learn to go through the pain to get the job done, but it's not dopamine zone. And so when dad says, do this, and you go, well, that's painful. The Bible says, put your hand to the plow, don't look back, don't look left, don't look right, don't look left to the pleasure, and don't look right to the pain. You just trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's discussion. What dad says goes. Dad has the final say. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Jesus never went to dialogue because dialogue is of the flesh. It's I want, I feel, I think. And so Bohm goes, a dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. This is what we all equal. Remember the 20 students in my class? They're not equal on their dad's position. They're equal on the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Approach pleasure, avoid pain, their lust for dopamine. They're all equal. Everyone on the face of the earth has that going for equal. And then he continues, a spirit of dialogue, he calls it a spirit, is in short the ability to hold many points of view in suspension. So if I have 20 students and we go to dialogue, they all have to do what with their dad's position? Suspend it. Put it aside. And the moment they put it aside, what do we have? We have flesh. That's all we got. We got lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Because it's dad's position that revealed to us that what we were doing was lust. Because he said, don't do this, and we do it. Because the pleasure was more important than the obedience. But if you go to dialogue, if I get the kids together in the class and I go, well, how do you feel? What do you think about certain issues that your dad has a position on, that their dad has a position on? And they go, I feel and I think. To do the I feel and I think, they have to put their dad's position aside. See, when you have a discussion with your father, there's no compromise. He doesn't go, well, I feel or I think. He goes, do it or else. It's an either or. Right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. There's no gray. Dialogue is gray. They're two different political systems. That's why when your dad said to do something and you go, why? The why was to get him into dialogue. Well, I don't feel like you should go out. I don't think you should go out. That's his opinion, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. You can go out and he can't do a thing because you cannot discipline somebody on an opinion. You discipline them on a discussion. This is right. That's wrong. And so when God did something to Adam, he did to nothing else in the creation. Because first of all, he formed him from the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. He became a living soul. Nothing else on the creation is a living soul. Then he told him. He told him, you can do this, don't do that. Only man can read or write a book. No animal can read or write a book. No animal can told or be told. You know, you're having a conversation with a horse and you go, well, you know, I really don't like this ground we're walking on. And the horse would respond, well, I don't either. That doesn't happen. Animals cannot reason like we can reason. In fact, the liberals use the very structure that God gave us to reject God with. They read books and write books, and they could not do that without what God just did to Adam. You know, not recognizing the righteousness of God, they go out to set up their own righteousness, not fulfilling the righteousness of God. This structure of there's right and there's wrong, and we can talk about it. You know, animals just stimulus response. The animal misbehaves and bites one another, you know. Whoa. Maybe I shouldn't do that. I get hurt. And you notice you have to do that with children. It's called chastening. To get their attention, to get them off the dialogue, what we're all equal with. And so he says, a spirit of dialogue is in short the ability to hold many points of view in suspension along with their primary interests in creating common meaning. What do we all have in common? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The dopamine, something the environment stimulates dopamine, gets into our brain, dopamine. Then we look, lust of the eyes. We look for it. We can imagine it. If we don't have it, imagination of the heart. And then we acquire it, pride of life. wow, look what I have. And everybody else is envious. And, well, I'd sure like to have that too. Or, and there's nothing wrong with that. You like to fix up your room. You like to fix up the property. And so when you drive up, you get a dopamine moment. But if God says, leave. Leave Lot. You know, leave Sodom. Told Lot, leave Sodom. Now, his wife left them all. See, that's why she there was the dopamine. She had to look back. What was Lot? Because that's what we all have. And to follow the Lord, it's discussion. It's not dialogue. Jesus never dialogued with anyone. God has not called us. Now, there's a reason for the dialogue. And it has to deal with the creation itself. So when God created Adam, notice there was an anxiety. He had the flesh and he had his soul. In the soul knows by being told. And so that's a discussion. Now, psychology calls it study of the soul, but they call it the psychomotor. So they tie the soul to the flesh. But the soul is not flesh. It just doesn't evaporate when you die. It's eternal. It's given. It's a living soul. It's eternal. Eternal life or eternal death. But it's eternal because it's from God himself. And so the dialogue ties us to the flesh. So if I ask the students, we look at a social issue, we can all talk about it. And I go, how do you feel? What do you think? Because that's a language of dialogue. Now I have equality. But what I have done is when Dad said, take the garbage out, and you went, why? And he ended up saying, because I said so. We just got rid of that because I said so. Because now you share, well, Dad, I feel or I think. You ever try that with your dad? Dad says, take the garbage out. And you go, well, Dad, I don't think I really want to. I don't feel like doing it. Where's that going? That's what I just did in the classroom. Because when you make dialogue, listen to this. When you make dialogue, the foundation for communication when it comes to behavior, there is no father's authority. Let me repeat that. When you make dialogue, your means of communication, when it comes to behavior, there is no father's authority. And so you've gone from discussion dialogue, because we have both, because you want to go do what you want to do and you talk to yourself about it. And yet you want to have dad's honor. You don't want to get into trouble. And so you accept discussion. And because you have both, when you disobey, you have a guilty conscience because you still recognize the father's authority. But if I get the students to unite on dialogue, because they all had to put aside their dad, the 20 different dads, they had to get rid of them. And they found their unity in one another in dialogue, they can do whatever they want as a group without having a guilty conscience. Look at our culture today. You know, killing the unborn, killing the elderly, killing the innocent, collateral damage. What a damnable phrase. You know, killing the righteous. All in the name of the people. All in the name of dialogue. You can't get there with discussion from the Word of God, because the Word of God, when God says he's life, he's the giver of life. Why take life? You cannot defend your faith. Your faith defends you. Any religious institution that uses violence to promote faith, to propagate, to spread faith around the world is an enemy of God. Because it's your faith that protects you. It's dealing with your soul, not your flesh. So I'm really jumping around here. But the difference between discussion, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Discussion, Dad has a final say. Lean not to your own understanding. That's dialogue, how you feel, what you think. In all your ways, acknowledge him. See, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Discussion, what Dad says, I put in my heart. Because Without it, all I have is me talking to myself, is dialogue, and I will sin. But see, without God telling us what sin is, there is no sin. Notice the first thing God told Adam, do this, don't do that. Right out of the chute. He tells us what we can do, and he tells us what we cannot do. That's a father structure. And that's the way we communicate in that structure is you preach commands and rules, you teach facts and truth, and if there are any questions, you have a discussion with the father having the final say. That's called a patriarchal paradigm. Classrooms used to be that way. You reward the students who obey and do what's right. You chasten the students who do wrong and disobey. And those who challenge authority, those who challenge the discussion structure, the patriarchal paradigm way of thinking, the father's structure, are cast out. See, that's what happened in the garden, was when God told Adam, you can do this, but you can't do that. Now we have a discussion. But Adam had a problem. There was anxiety there because he was also the flesh, and that's dialogue. Nothing in the creation can dialogue with you. God brought all the animals. He couldn't dialogue with the animals because animals don't dialogue with you. They don't go, well, you're having a conversation. Well, I don't think I really want to cross this stream. And a horse goes, well, I don't either. It's not going to happen. Because they're not a living soul. Because that reasoning ability comes from God. That's that consciousness of who you are. There's something greater than you. And so what happened then was there's this anxiety because Adam could have a discussion with God. God has the final say, but he could say, well, you know, what's this? And God would give the response, so you accept it. But he couldn't dialogue with God. Because in dialogue, we're God. You see the difference? In discussion, God is God. He has the final say. But in dialogue, you have the final say. Because you go, I feel, I think. See, Dad says, because I said so, he has the final say in discussion. Now, so anybody, you hear that phrase, because I said so, that's a discussion. If you go, well, I feel, I think, if you hear that, that's a dialogue. And that person is God. In a discussion, God is God. The parent is God. But in dialogue, you're God. And so Adam could not have dialogue with God. And there was nothing else in the creation to have dialogue with. This ability, again, of dialoguing is there's billions of people on the face of the earth. You dialogue with yourself. You are you. You talk to yourself. Of the billions around, you are you. And so it's tied to approach pleasure, avoid pain, stimulus response. And so there was nothing, all the animals, you know, he named them all. He still couldn't resolve it. And God goes, it's not good that man be alone. Well, he wasn't alone, everything else in creation, but he was alone because he could have no dialogue. There was nothing equal in the creation with him. Do you understand that? There was nothing in the creation that was equal. Totally. That'd be like an island on an island by yourself forever. And so God took his rib, gave him a woman. And there is the dialogue. As long as they went, I feel and I think, like the fruit of the trees, you can eat the fruit of all these trees. They go, well, I don't like this one. You know, this doesn't taste as good. It's a little tart, that fruit. Well, I like it. You know, and so you could have this. You ever taken those tests? You know, love, I like, no opinion, I don't like, I hate. That spectrum, that's dialogue. Not discussion. Discussion's right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. But in dialogue, anytime you take that spectrum test, a whole culture is, well, I like to come like over, like to your house, like because I like your mom's cooking, like, yeah, it's really like good, you know. And you hear this brain-numbing, shallow communication of the culture today because they're they've embraced dialogue as their only means of communication because they all want to be God. Decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong behavior. That's counseling. Psychology is based on what language? I feel, I think. That's dialogue. And so, whether it's education or the workplace, everywhere we go today is, how do you feel? What do you think? Not, what do you know? See, all the laws of nature are established by God. They don't change. I mean, you can go any part of the universe. The law of gravity is the law of gravity. Doesn't matter if you're on the sun or the furthest galaxy out there. It's universal. It's established by God. It doesn't change. Gravity doesn't change because it likes you. It says, oh, I like you. I think I won't let you get hurt today. You know, I'll stop you. I'll stop pulling you down to the earth or pulling the earth up to you. So what happens is that because we look at the stimulus response, which is our flesh, and we love pleasure and we hate pain, our rational ability makes that the foundation of right and wrong behavior. And that's dialogue. Because in discussion, man doesn't live by bread alone. Because we can like different kinds of bread. Well, I like artisan. Well, I don't. But by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God, we know because we've been told. God told Adam. So there was no dialogue between you and God. There's a discussion. Come, let us reason together. It's not dialogue. God's going to listen to you. But if he will not give you whatever you're wanting that consumes to your lust, that you're going to consume it to your lust, forget it. So he will put in your heart what he wants you to do, and he will honor that. Now, it may not turn out the way you want it. That's the book of Job. You know, they were doing a stimulus response. You see how that works? Well, God said this, so this must be happening. Well, there's more going on than you and I will ever know. And that was the message of Job. So don't make your life subject to stimulus response. That's dialogue. But that's where we've come as a culture. And so there is this top-down patriarchal system. And the Bible said, Jesus said, call no man your father on earth, for you have one father which is in heaven. I've come not to bring peace, but a sword. I'll divide the father from the son. He didn't come to destroy the father's authority. He didn't come to get rid of discussion. That's where you can have sound doctrine. They cannot endure sound doctrine. That's where you can sit and actually rightly divide the word of God. You don't add, you don't multiply. You break it down to its very core of what it is. How it applies to you in that moment, in that situation. And that's a discussion. Not once do you go, I feel, I think. That would be comparable to taking a chain to pull a car out of a ditch and then detaching one of the links and putting a weak, you know, some spaghetti, you know, loose spaghetti in there and see, making that part of the chain. It ain't going to work. Einstein filled up a room full of blackboards with is not, is not, is not to come up with E equals MC squared. Cannot be anything else. That's what the laws of nature are established by. They're, and so God's word to us, because it's a soul, is just as absolute as he put in the laws of nature. But when we use our mind and make us subject to the laws of nature, all we have is that which God formed from the dust of the ground. All we're going to have is dialogue. All we're going to have is I feel and I think. All we're going to have is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father. I hope I'm making sense here. It's right there in Scripture. When the woman took the dialogue, and she was seduced to do it, into the forbidden area, See, they could dialogue with, in regards to all the trees that God said they could eat the fruit of. Your child can dialogue. You could, as a child, dialogue in your room. I like this paint color. I like this, you know, furniture. I like, I don't like, I like, I don't like. And then you could act on it within reason. You had the money, you know, if what you know, there were conditions, but you in a way you were God in that realm. And so when it came to the trees that they could eat the fruit of, they could be God. It's like going to a smorgasbord. You can pick the foods you like. So that's a dialogue. I like this, I don't like that. But say the doctor said, this food that you like will kill you. It's harmful to you. Now, if you go to the smorgasbord and you just go to dialogue, you'll eat it. But if you have a discussion with yourself, you see how this works? Or you have a discussion with somebody else, that fact, that command, that rule has a final say. So if you go with discussion, you won't eat it. If you go with dialogue, you will. The woman took the dialogue into the cannot, must not, thou shalt not realm. That's like your child coming into your room and going, I feel and I think, and start rearranging the room to how they feel and what they think. It ain't going to happen. You're not God. Look at the kids today. Look at them today. Touching everything, jumping on everything. Just like the woman, when she took the dialogue, where she's God, into that realm that she was told she was not to, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, she took ownership of the garden. Do you understand that? This was a political system. This socialism, the 20 students, if I go to dialogue, I have socialists. I tell parents, if you're more concerned about your child's social life, their relationship with others, than where they're going to spend eternity, you're a socialist. So if you're more concerned about the, and this was Adam, by the way, Adam abdicated God as his authority because of that prior experience of being alone. He went social. I choose her over you. And then when he got caught, this is man's heart. This is the woman's heart. God goes after Adam first. He doesn't go after the woman. He goes, Adam abdicated. The woman was deceived. Adam wasn't. He abdicated for the sake of the relationship with the woman. God confronts him. And he throws the woman under the bus. Oh, it's this woman you gave me. And then he throws God under the bus. It's because it's stimulus response. Create a healthy environment, I'll be a good person. Create an unhealthy environment, I'll be a bad person. Approach pleasure, avoid pain. Whatever brings pleasure is good. Whatever brings pain is bad. So the agenda is create an environment of pleasure. And all of a sudden, God's bringing judgment. And he didn't go, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I repent. I have no excuse. No, he threw her under the bus. It's this woman. And, oh, God, it's your... Look what you gave me. Look at this thing. It's your fault. You created this unhealthy environment. I would never have gotten in trouble if it hadn't been for you giving me this woman. See how that works? Because in dialogue, you can't bring the word wrong in. You just do better. You know, God, can't we do better? Couldn't you do a better job than this? See, if you go to court and you have a liberal judge, he'll go, if he likes you, he'll go dialogue. Oh, you can do better. We'll just slap you on the wrist. But if he doesn't like you, he'll go discussion. He'll get rid of you. He'll punish you. See, whereas a just judge will always have discussion. He's fair. The blindfold is on. It's the moment you have social worth in a courtroom, there's no justice. See, the American Revolution, Magna Carta, that was to get rid of social worth from the courtroom. We're all It's an issue of justice, rule of law. This is right and that is wrong. Now, if a person is repentant, then you have mercy. If he's not repentant, you don't have mercy. There was no repentance from Adam. There was no repentance from the woman. The woman said, well, it's a serpent's fault. He just allowed me to do what I wanted to do. He just talked me into doing what I wanted to do. It's all his fault. See, the liberal, the dialogue people will never confess their sins. As long as they still have a fear of God, but the Bible says there will be no fear of God before their face. Because if you make education, for instance, based upon dialogue, the 20 students, how do you feel? What do you think? We do the group grade. They cannot have a discussion, because the discussion is the one person who comes in and says, what you're doing is wrong. They will martyr that person. Now, if they can't convert them, get them into dialogue. A guy I knew said, you'd take your school board members off to a conference and then come back with a lobotomy. You couldn't talk to them anymore. What happened? Well, they had that dialogue and opinions to a consensus meetings. That Soviet socialist dialogue structure of communication. They can't handle discussion, because you learn in those meetings, anybody who comes in says this is right and that's wrong, you have to convert. And if you can't convert them, you silence them. You know, you're just negative. You're hateful. You know, you're prejudiced. You're maladjusted. You're a lower thinker. You're unadaptable to change. You know, 100 different terms. You're not a team player. Just every verb and noun you can use to silence them. And then you censor them. And if they persist, you get rid of them. Because you have to have a healthy environment. See, a stimulus response. You get rid of the patriarchal discussion-based people. This is what the Bible calls so-called science. True science is a discussion. 2 + 2 = 4 cannot be any other number. We have that as a basis. Now we're going to build bridges. We're going to build houses and ships and boats and planes. And you can apply that anywhere. Recipes, cooking. So now we can have a discussion. Do we add? Do we take away? We have limits and measures. But if we go, I feel and I think, you come up to the bridge, and the engineer just finished building it, and you say, well, is it safe to cross? And he goes, well, I think it is. Whoa, what? What did you just say? You don't know? Well, no, because some of us thought 2 + 2 = 5. We went with opinions. We did the group think stuff. You see where we are as a culture? Because education moved from discussion, where the teacher preached commands and rules. We used to have the Ten Commandments. We used to have the paddle. The father, he authors and he enforces. There's right, you get rewarded. If you do what's wrong, you get chastened. And if you reject his authority, you get expelled. And so that, but now, from the 50s on, it went, how do you feel? What do you think? The group grade. Let's be positive. In other words, let's tolerate everybody's opinion, and let's not be negative. Let's leave that out. That's all that is. We're going to leave God out. That's all the serpent did in the garden. When he said, you won't die, he just created a positive environment. He just got rid of the negative, so she could now dialogue, well, I feel like touching it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because it's just as good as food as all the rest of the trees. It's just as pleasing to the eyes as the rest of the trees. And in fact, it's desirous to make one wise. Now, this is wisdom they already have from God, but now from her flesh. I can think for myself. I don't need somebody to tell me what I can or cannot do. Do you see that spirit he's talking about? The spirit of dialogue? I'm God? What gives you the right to tell me, to even tell my children what's right and wrong behavior? Used to be, if your child was misbehaving, the neighbor might say, hey, I know your parents. And I know they would not approve of that. now that neighbor could get sued. How dare you talk to my child that way? Because we're a culture of dialogue. With the same process that the woman took into the garden, that she took into the forbidden fruit, the forbidden tree. And so the role of the master facilitator of change, anytime you hear that phrase, facilitation of change, Mark said the philosophers all interpreted the world in many different ways. We have 20 students, they're all from 20 homes, those are all philosophers. All the dads have different positions. The objective, however, is change. What's change? Stimulus response. Whatever makes me feel good is good. Whatever makes me feel bad is bad. Stimulus response of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Marx simply called it sensuous need, sense perception, sense experience. Sounds academic. He just removed any connotation that would come from the Word of God, but he never removed the Word of God. Everything in the Word of God. This is the most frustrating thing there took me months to overcome some meetings because I would share the truth of the Word of God and the Christians in that room would go to sleep like, oh, do you have anything new to share? They would listen to me quoting Maslow and Marx and Carl Rogers and blah, 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 blah. All these guys quoting them by dialectical, inactivity of consciousness, struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the former logical law of contradiction. Norman O'Brown, life against death. Wow! All he was saying was, I'm trying to figure out how I can get around what my parents just told me to do. Enamored with it. Then I quote, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Got anything new? It's boring. There was one meeting, every cell in my body just wanted to leave halfway through. We are a cursed nation because of quote-unquote Christians who do not understand the seriousness of God's word because I said so. Because they've gone into the world of dialogue. You can't go to any Christian university without psychology controlling the institution. See, psychology is built on dialogue. That's what the serpent did in the garden. There's no dialogue before God. What harmony is Christ with dialogue? He asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Just the facts. Who do men say that I am? Just the facts. Remember Dragnet, Sergeant Friday? Just the facts, man. And Peter's response was, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And if you look at what Jesus says, Peter, this didn't come from you. You guys are all dialoguing. I feel, I think. What do you think he's meant by that? This came from my dad. Do you realize my dad just spoke to you? I came that you could talk to my father. That's why I came. And he just spoke to you. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God's not building the fellowship, the congregation, on Peter. That's a pebble. It's on, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, but it's on, my dad just spoke to you. Now we can have a discussion. It's just not stone. It's just not legalism. You have a living soul from a living God who's communicating with you. Not through the flesh. He chastens that. Chastening is grievous for a season. Why? It gets you off the drug. The dialogue pushers, those are drug pushers. They depend upon you having to depend upon the dopamine. You know, through covetousness, that's where you covet. It's, if I can have that, I can have dopamine. I can have pleasure. And so they come along and find out what you're coveting, and then they offer to help you with it. And you go, wow, I like this person. Well, sure you would. Your flesh loves them, not your soul, but your flesh does. And so they say, okay, why don't you join and I'll help you get whatever you want. And through covetousness with feigned words, because they say we're here to help you. No, they're here to help themselves. They make merchandise of you. Now they get you to work for them. That's what the facilitator of change wants to grow the church because he's got a bigger salary and he's got more kudos from everybody around. Oh, wow, man, I'd like to be like you. Look how popular you are. You have to understand, and I share this in my writings, the facilitator of change is all about himself. The serpent in the garden was all about himself. He didn't care about Adam and Eve. That facilitator of change, he puts on airs like he cares about you, but it's vain words, means plastic words. Says one thing, means another. Oh, I'm here to help you. No, I'm here to help myself. See, and so, but because, like the woman, what was she to do? He talked me into what I wanted to do. How can you fight that? He said what I wanted to do was okay. That's all the facilitator of change in the church is about. Because Marx said, you know, the philosophers all interpret the world in different ways. Look at all the different churches because they're all doctrinally based. The objective is change. In other words, let's everybody get in a Bible study and ask how you feel and what you think. Let's do what the serpent did with a woman in the garden. Instead of studying the Word of God and applying it to your heart, now you're evaluating the Word of God from your flesh, your fleshy mind. Because now you're God, fumbling with God's Word. The moment you go, I feel and I think in a Bible study, you are God twisting God's word to fit into your carnal nature. That's all you're doing. Now, the liberals understand this. They look at the conservatives and go, you bunch of fools. You're so gullible. The moment the serpent got the woman, the master facilitator of change got the woman into dialogue, he owned her. The moment, if I'm a teacher and I get the students, your child with all the other students, go, I feel and I think, to moral issues, to behavior, I own them. They will serve me. They will protect me. They will defend me. See, they will praise me. And they will worship me. Because I am their savior of their flesh, of their dopamine. Rescuing them from you that get in their way. That's why Bloom, all teachers trained in Bloom's text, Bloom says there are many stories of conflict and tension that this process has produced between parents and children. Like, duh. It's the same pattern in Genesis 3, 1 through 6 applied in the classroom with Bloom's taxonomy. So what's wrong with that? Well, the father's excluded. You don't start with what dad says. You start with how the students feel and what they think about what dad said. It's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And so the moment you begin, you base behavior on dialogue, you're an enemy of God. You can deny it all day long. You can't refute it. From Genesis to Revelation, that's what the issue is. Is it, you know, as above, so below? That's dialogue. We're equal. No. God says, my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Son, come here. We're going to have a discussion. You know who's going to end the conversation? God is. There's no dialogue before God. Jesus never dialogued. And so he didn't even have to have guilty conscience because he never went to dialogue. He never brought dialogue into the realm of discussion. Where dad says you can't do that and we go, well, I feel like, or I think. Now, if you keep both, now you have, because you have contrition and, oh, what I did was wrong, and you have a guilty conscience. And there's a chance for repentance. But if you go to a culture of dialogue, and you role play it, and you build relationship with others around the dialogue, the self-interest, the I feel and I think language. Anybody who comes in with discussion, you're going to convert first if you can. You're going to silence them because they're thinking, ah, boy, I just saw how they treated this other person. I won't be treated like that. So they just don't say anything. And silence is consent. And then you will censor them. If they say stuff that brings discussion back in, you just have nothing to do with them. And then if they persist, you get rid of them. And so it's a harsh, this desire for approval from others is powerful in us. And that is a tool that's used to martyr those who come. You say, well, I want my child to be a witness in that classroom. What's a Greek word for witness? Martyrius. Anyone who comes in and demands on discussion, my dad says, it is written, in a dialogue environment is going to be martyred. Absolutely. Jesus never went to dialogue in a culture of dialogue. Remember, they were amazed because he spoke with authority, not that the scribes and Pharisees. That whole culture that went after the Lord was a culture of dialogue. And here we are again, as in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving marriage. How do you feel? What do you think? Imagination heart was evil continuously. Karl Marx says, not feeling at home in a sinful world, critical criticism. That's desperately wicked. You're to the point of, I hate Dad. I'm going to get rid of him because he just gets in my way and he gets in the way of everybody. And if I can get rid of him, then we can all be ourselves. Nobody's going to tell us what we can or can't do. So not feeling at home in a sinful world because everybody's immoral. So what gives this boss the right to fire me because I'm being immoral? Look at our culture today. Immorality is in control of everything. The workplace, education, media, government. It's through dialogue. It's what the serpent got the woman into when it came to right and wrong behavior. The moment you go to dialogue, you're doing Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Let's have a positive environment. You won't die. Get rid of the negative. You will die. And we can go anywhere. We call it innovation. All kinds of verbiage. You think innovation is working on a project? No, innovation is we just created a new world order with no father telling us what we can or cannot do. He is Antichrist, denies the Father and the Son. Now you can keep the Son, but if you keep the Son, you have to keep the Father because the Son came that we would have communication with our Father. That's the only reason he came. That we might participate in his holiness forever. A work of Christ. So that's why I focus on discussion and dialogue, and it just goes over everybody's head, and I'm going, there it is in Scripture. If you would just meditate, discussion will not save you. Just like the law will not save you. The law says you're a sinner. You're not God. So the law is it. You're not God. Look what you did. God's perfect. You're not perfect. But discussion, you can have discussion with a man. There's usually a one. And be lost. You can have a discussion with your dad and be lost. That's what Jesus said, call no man your father on earth. Now, we honor our father and our mother. We honor our parents. But God has the final say. And as a parent, again, homeschoolers say, well, let's protect our kids, let's bring them home. And it's stimulus response. Create a healthy environment, create a healthy person. The whole Protestant Reformation rejected that. No. There is nothing in the creation, there is no environment in the creation can produce a good person. None. It is a work of Christ and Christ alone. That's why I say, if you're more concerned about your child's social life than where they'll spend eternity, you're a socialist. No, I'm not. I'm not with those people. Well, it's not how far down the road you've gone. It's the road you're on. You're on their road. One step on it, you're on it. And so you cannot bring dialogue, I feel and I think, over to where a cannot, must not, thou shalt not is. Because if you do, you broke the first commandment. When it comes to God's word, you broke the first commandment. You put God, you shall have no graven, you know, you're not to worship any other gods. You're worshiping yourself. Well, I feel like touching it. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And she was right. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil did not physically kill them. They died because God removed them from their inheritance, which is the tree of life. Their soul died because God said the day you eat thereof, you know, then you'll die. Their soul died because the soul, that reasoning ability, was no longer subject to God and His word, but was subject to their flesh. Because they brought dialogue in. Dialogue is subject to your flesh. Discussion is subject to your soul. The soul knows by being told. The flesh by sense experience. So I'm just explaining structure here. You can come into a room and you can see if they're dialoguing, going, I feel and I think, in a Bible study, you're in apostasy. I actually shared this at there were older folks, you know, they're my age, I'm up there in years, I'm 20-year-old and a 75-year-old body. It's not cooperating. And so, you know, the older generation, and they were going, I feel and I think, and I had to correct them. I'm going, oh, I hate this. They're going to hate me. They're going to kick me out of here. I hate rejection. But they were old enough, mature enough, come from old school. They looked at me for a moment, and they go, you're right. You're absolutely right. And they stopped it. Because it's easy to get caught up into this I feel and I think language when it comes to behavior, because in that realm, we're in control of life. My wife passed away last October. When you watch the one you love for 55 years die before your eyes, you realize you're not in control. They're not in control. That's what God was saying. You eat of that tree. You take dialogue over to that tree. And you eat of it. You're going to die. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Now Jesus came to redeem us. Paul writes about, you know, who can deliver me from the death of this body? And he gives us the answer, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never break the law of God. So you don't have to be legalistic. You don't have to do a checklist. You know the law. You study the scriptures. You daily, you're before the Lord, earnestly, you know, contending for the faith. Always seeking after the Lord. Earnestly contending. God looks at the intent of the heart. Is your heart like David, thy word have I hid in my heart? Or is it, I can do whatever I want in the name of Jesus? Now we have a whole culture of Christians doing whatever they want in the name of Jesus. No fear of God before their eyes. God is not in all their thoughts. So this is... I've never shared like this before, but this is what this whole, the thesis, antithesis, synthesis, every different way you look at it. The thesis, if you start with dad, you can only have antithesis, the child's carnal nature. And you can't go to synthesis because dad says what you're doing is wrong and you're subject to him. You're made in God's image. But if you start with a child, if you start with dialogue, then the dad becomes the antithesis, but he's out. Because you can't bring discussion into dialogue. You can't come into dialogue and say you're wrong. You can say you can do better, but you can't say wrong, because a better is an opinion. Right, wrong is a position. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. In discussion, it's position. In dialogue, it's opinion. And so you cannot, and so if you start with dialogue, and that's where everything is today, and you come in with discussion, remember he said argue? You know, they'll argue their point. That's a liberal mind. Because anytime you come into an environment that town council, get them into dialogue, how do you feel, what do you think, and you come in with the facts, you will always, always, always be perceived as being argumentative. There's no way to escape it. It's as absolute as 2 plus 2 equals 4 and cannot be any other number. And that's the power of this process. So, train up your children in the admonition of the Lord. We turned our children over to that institution because we went after the dopamine. Because we got rid of the husband being the head of the home. And we made the husband and wife. You want equality? You want partnership in the husband and wife relationship? Go to the garden. Adam and Eve both sinned. They became equal. There's your partnership. It's not a partnership. Notice the woman went to dialogue. Adam needed it. She's a helpmeet. But he went to the dialogue because she was in the dialogue. He abdicated his authority. He should have said, wait a minute, you know, we got to go talk to Dad about this. Who is this guy? What is this four-legged creature? See, why are we over here carrying on this conversation with a cannot tree? See, it's called Aufheben. You're picking up something that you're not supposed to. See, we're drawn away by the lust of the flesh. So I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Quit the dialoguing. There's a place for it. Where Dad says, you can do this, you can dialogue, I like this, I don't like that. But when it comes to His Word, you apply it to your heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not dialogue, but I might do your will and not sin. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and the Lord shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6.